We're in a series called Second Chance, talking about building the second temple and the issues that are involved. Wow, I didn't even see you guys over there. You didn't get communion elements, did you? Bummer. Yeah, who?
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday to you, Ophelia. All right. Zechariah chapter 12, if you're there, say amen. All right, we read 5 through 9. This is good stuff, folks. The whole book is good. Amen? But I'll tell you what lights me up is the part I'm reading right now. We're going to read verses 5 through 9. Then, everybody say then, would you?
Amen.
Then the leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty is their God. Turn me down just a little bit there, JJ. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. The Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are a transforming God, that you have come into Belia's life, and you have come into so many of our lives. I hear of your tremendous work among us, Lord, and I pray that you would do a work today, that we would be lit by you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? I don't know if you've heard of this lady. Kim Davis is a county clerk, is the county clerk in, I got the county, it's in North Carolina. Look, there's no real big towns in there. Rowan County. Johnny's back there messing with the door. He's from North Carolina. Oh, there you are. You're from North Carolina, right, Johnny? No, South Carolina. All right. Probably far away. Anyway, because of her religious belief, she is refusing to issue marriage certificates to people of the same sex. She's an elected official, and no marriage certificates are legal without her signature. And she is saying, I cannot do this. The Lord has stated in his word that marriage is between a man and a woman. This woman has been a Christian for 4 years. And she's saying, I can't do this. She's in jail, third day. She has no sentence. She stays until she starts issuing marriage certificates. Or she quits. Or they have an election to replace her. I mean, I didn't say that in the article. She says, I'm fine. I'm good. And they're having these rallies. And her husband there, she's saying, she's doing good. The Lord is the lifter of her head. And she's doing just fine. She's lit by the Lord. And when you are lit by the Lord, your life will no longer be the same. Amen? Amen. All right. We are talking about being lit by the Lord. Second chance. Second temple. People get the picture of this because as we've been studying Zechariah, we started back in Ezra, went through Haggai, and King Cyrus, 539 B.C. of Persia, said, okay, I'm king now. Says, go back and rebuild my temple. And they are surrounded by enemies. They are surrounded by those that would come against them, and they are reestablishing worship of the Lord and rebuilding Jerusalem basically from nothing. Surrounded by enemies. Took great sacrifice for the Jews to do this. Takes great sacrifice by Kim Davis to be in jail saying, you know what? I'm going to be serving the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Jason, your wife, right over here, bud. There you go. All right. Second chance. We'll give Jason a second chance too. There you go. When you live by the Lord, there's a sacrifice that's involved. Belia said, water wasn't so cold. Yeah, you know what? There's some challenging things. It's Labor Day, man. If you're going to get baptized in this church, Labor Day is the day to do it. Water is the warmest. Today we're going to read about God's part of building His people, God's promise. Because God is not done with Israel. We've been looking into God's future plans for Israel for the past several weeks. And what He's done is He's put Israel on hold while He's dealing with the Gentiles. How many Jews do we have in the room? Not a one. Got a group of Gentiles. Now, aren't we happy that the Lord has grafted us in to the plan of God that He has for Israel, that Israel has been put on the side and He puts a focus on the church? We are talking about the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord begins with Christ and ends with Christ. And in the middle, He includes time for you and me. So how are you this morning? Are you lit by the Lord? Because if you are, your life will never be the same. Amen? Appreciate your testimony this morning, Belia, in the tank. Our God is a mighty God. Amen? That is a word. Brokey mentioned the movie War Room. I highly recommend that you go see that. Lisa went and saw it for the third time, I think, or fourth time. And they said, the lady said, it won't be at that theater past Thursday. So I don't know if they got a short engagement, but if you have not seen it, go see it. Pay some money. Let them make some money on this thing. One of the things that lady says, our God is a mighty God. Amen? Amen. When you live by the Lord, you'll know that He's mighty because He'll transform your life. Back to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, who forms the spirit of man within Him, declares. We're going to get into that declaration. But He's saying that I'm going to do a work in Israel. And He's not saying, although He's going to reference Judah and He's going to reference Jerusalem, He doesn't reference that here. He says Israel, the whole nation. And at this time, only Judah, which is the southern area of Israel. Jason, it's up here, babe. The southern area of the land of Israel, of Palestine, is called Judah. Like San Diego County, and you get up to Escondido and up all, that wasn't there, that was Samaria. And all the way through the time of Jesus, Samaria's up there. The enemies of the Jews were up there, and it's not the whole land of Israel. But God says, I have a plan for the whole land. And because we only see a portion, we're looking at this as being completed in the future, even today. You take a look at a map, and I looked at a map, and you have the West Bank. And the West Bank, man, it sucks all the way into Israel, all the way around Jerusalem. There's a bunch. There's a bunch of work that's yet to be done. God says, I'm going to do some work. Amen? It's not just Jerusalem. It's not just Judah. And He says He's going to complete His promise to Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I want to get in on that. Amen? I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That hasn't happened yet. God says, let me tell you about my plans for Israel. I'm not done yet. I got Israel on hold. And I'm working on you, and I'm working on the church. But I still got plans for Israel. Amen? He says He will make His people great in a day. Talk about the day in that day. Six times in chapter 12 of Zechariah. That day, the day of the Lord, starts with the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It continues on until His return. I have to let you know today, folks, that our Lord has a focus on the Jews, that Jesus came and He had a focus on the Jews. Jesus came and He was a Jew. And when He comes back, He's going to have a focus on the Jews. It's a Jewish book. Book of Revelation starts off with letters to seven churches. And then it shifts gears, right, puts a focus on the Jews. God works on the universe, God works on the planet, and whatever he does, he works on shaping the spirit of men. You're here this morning, God would do a work on your spirit and shape you one by one. He'd light you up and change your life. Amen? Amen. Revelation, he says, Israel has an experienced a hardening in part. I'm sorry, it's Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. See, Jesus came to reach the Jews, and they said, no, we're not interested. And he says, I'm going to work on the Gentiles. And when that full number comes in, change is going to happen. And the focus goes back on the Jews. And that's what Zechariah is talking about in chapter 12 and chapter 13. Are we tracking with me? We okay? I want to let you know, I did start late today. We had communion, we had baptism, so if you're looking at your watch, it's not all me. All right, here we go. God will fight for Jerusalem, verses 2 through 4. I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup. I want you to picture a cup. I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. And on that day, when all the nations, say all, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. God's going to fight for Jerusalem. Every nation, not some of the nations, every nation will be arrayed against Israel. Now, this prophecy doesn't even make sense until 1949 because Israel wasn't even a nation. And then you read of the peace accords when I was a kid. Idi Amin, right, with Egypt? Making the peace deal with Israel. It says not some nations. It says every nation will come against Israel. And I'll tell you what. The United States is a nation. And my wife says, oh, you know what? The United States is drifting apart from Israel. I said, it's in the book. It's going to happen. It's not if it's going to happen. It's when is it going to happen? Because we see ourselves aligning ourselves with Iran and some of these little side deals on this deal that we made with Iran are to protect Iran from Israel. I got a picture for you. This is the Muslim world. The green is Muslim. The red. Can you even see the red? I think I got a little laser here. Yeah. The red. That's red, right? That's Israel right there. Now, when Zechariah says, when all the nations are arrayed against Israel, man, oh man. That's rough living, eh, man? Going to lose the United States as an ally. Going to lose all its allies. And you know what? You see it happening. You see the crazy jihadists, you know, coming against Israel. And the other countries going, take them, man. We don't want to deal with you guys. I mean, we are the great Satan. United States of America, 318, I looked it up, I believe this is right, 318 million people. Is that correct? Right? We got oceans in between us and the crazy jihadists. And we're still sweating it. Can I get a witness on that? Israel has a population of 6 million people. And the bad guys are their neighbors. They need God to protect them. They need God to go to battle for them. Amen? ISIS bearing down on her. And you know, today, the majority of Israel doesn't care a whit about the Lord. Don't make sense, amen? All right, here we go. God works on us individually. This is what I read to you earlier. I'll read it to you again. Then the leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because, you know, I'll tell you what, the Israelis are pretty strong. Amen? I mean, I'll tell you what, they're pushing these Arabs and these people back for a long time. But there's going to come a day when the leaders of Jerusalem, when the leaders of Judah, the word they use is a leader of thousands, will say, man, we're strong because God's strong. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among the sheaves. It's going to take all their enemies and light them on fire. But Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. The Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. And on that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest, and you think about a shield, right? You think about all the rockets that are continually being poured into Israel from the Hamas and Hezbollah and all those guys. And the Lord would be a shield. And you could just see this happening. The feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. And on that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack them. God will make his people strong. We'll equip the leaders of Judah. Maybe you know this guy. He heard of the torch, right? He says, I'm going to make them like a fire pot. So that they would go, and it talks about the fire pot in the wood piles, right? And you put that in the wood piles, and the wood piles light on fire. Also talks about the sheaves of wheat or straw that are wrapped up, standing in the fields, and those things are just light like nothing. And he says, that's what I'm going to make the leaders of Judah like. And then he says, I'm going to take the feeblest, the stumbling ones, the ones that are so weak, and make them like David. Captain America, right? He's this little dude. And they give him some injection. And he becomes Captain America. That is an incredible picture of what God says, I'm really going to do. I'm going to take the feeblest among you, and I'm going to make them like David, the mighty warrior, the king. Those who look back, like the house of David. I'm going to do a miracle in the people of Israel. And the leaders are going to see it and go, wow, God's doing a miracle among us. Maybe you've read Psalm 3:3, but you are a shield about me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me. You are the lifter of my head. Joel Rosenberg writes a book, talks about this shield effect, about how all the enemies of the Jews are arrayed around them, and they just do this massive launch of all these rockets. And the Lord is a shield, and it's like the rockets hit this shield and turn around and blow up all the nations. They're attacking her. Imagine the whole world arrayed against Israel, that little tiny country. And the Lord is her protector. I'll tell you what, I see our country drifting away. I don't know if I see any way to stop it, but I'll tell you what. My heart, says, the Bible says, pray for peace in Jerusalem. Amen? Keep a focus on that. All right, let's continue going. Verses 10 through 13, I will pour out on the house of David. This is something you're probably familiar with because we preach about this all the time. See, we've seen this part already. Amen? It says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieves bitterly for him as one grieved for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be great like the weeping of Hadad-Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn. The Holy Spirit will be poured out by the Lord. God says, I'm going to give you a new spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. Belly had talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you and lights you up. Can I get a witness on that? When you are lit by the Lord, your life will never be the same. And if you say you know Him and there has been no change, Belly said, what? Man, I used to argue with my kids. Now I pray. How many people can say that's a big old change right there? Amen? Amen. Lit by the Lord, your life will never be the same. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. But the Jews said no. They rejected their Messiah. They really reject God in any shape or fashion at this time. It is a secular country. God says, I'm going to do a work for them for my name's sake. And He says they'll finally see Jesus as their Savior. They will look upon the one they pierced. It's been preached to them for 2,000 years. Day of Pentecost, Peter preaching, the little stone. He says what? Therefore let Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And the response is, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. There is a hardening in part. There were some who turned, but there were many who said, no, we don't want it. There'll be mourning on that day. There'll be crying. There'll be wailing. As they come to see their error, 2,000 years of error, rejecting their Messiah, they'll go, oh, how wrong have we been? I think Belia has had that in her life. Walter has that in his life. I have that in my life. How wrong have I been? And there is wailing. Talk about this town here. Talks about Hadad Rimmon was a center of Baal cultic worship. And every spring there would be a celebration as spring broke and the god of fertility showed up. And as spring ended and the summer began, there would be great wailing in that city in the plain of Megiddo. And the cries would go up. And Zechariah says, you people are going to be crying like that when you realize that you have rejected your Savior for 2,000 years. God comes in crisis. God came to my life in crisis. Said, God, I'm so messed up. I'll give you my life. And He poured His Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, you can have my life. I've destroyed it. And I felt the Holy Spirit just come into me. I was walking on the street. I wasn't in church. It's God and I having church. I'm out of control. It took me a year to learn how to live being guided by God. Changed my life. He lit me up. I've never been the same. Culminated about a year later when I really understood and I was in church and stood up at the end of a service and just surrendered my old life. Understood what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, all my works were as filthy rags. You see this morning going, oh, I'm so wrong. I hope you've had that. You come on Monday night, get a weekly dose of Roki as he's talking about filthy rags. It's a great time. Lord will light you up and you'll never be the same. Amen? All right, here we go. So, God works on us individually. God lets us in on His plan and then God makes spiritual changes. God provides a remedy for sin. On that day, a fountain. On that day, again, that day of the Lord. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. Because as you come to the Lord, and as you understand who He is and what He would do for you, and you come to that crisis moment, there is a crisis that would cause you to recognize your need for Him. But as you come to Him, there is sin in your life. Sin in your life that needs to be handled. The Lord would handle your life. The Lord would handle your sin. We have a picture of this fountain, a picture of the Holy Spirit that would come in and direct your life and convict you of sin. That the stuff that you used to do, like arguing with your kids or other myriad of sins, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives in you, and you begin to do those very same things and you become convicted. You feel guilty. Holy Spirit would cleanse you of the choices that you would make that would alienate you from God. A fountain will be opened to the house of David. Israel comes to an understanding, surrounded by their enemies, saved by the Lord. And He says, I'll deal with your sin. Same thing when they were in slavery in Egypt. He says, I'll set you free, and then we'll deal with sin. He gives His law as a response to freedom. Amen? God's got a pattern. Pattern in my life, Belia's life, your life, Israel's past, and Israel's future. I'll get you, set you free, and then we'll deal with sin. Amen? If you're going to live in a right relationship with God, you're going to have your sin dealt with. Jesus is our remedy. Amen? Then there's more work to do. On that day, I will banish the names of idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. And if anyone still prophesies, his father and mother to whom he was born will say to him, you must die because you have told lies in the Lord's name. When he prophesies, his own parents will stab him. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his prophetic vision. He will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. He will say, I'm not a prophet, I'm a farmer, and the land has been my livelihood since my youth. And there is this work that the Lord would do. We do not see this issue going on in Israel at this time. When they came back from Babylon, they did not bring idols with them. There were issues of false prophecy in Nehemiah 6, where people were being paid to speak in God's name falsely. But right now, Jerusalem and Israel is largely a secular country. And you see your Jews, and your Wailing Wall, and your ascetic Jews, and they got the hats, and they got the beards, and they got all that stuff. But the majority of Jews, they don't care a bit about God. And so for this to occur, for this future event to occur, there is going to be a spiritual birth of cultism, of idolatry, where idols will be, and it's like, oh, it's the TVs. No, I don't think it's TVs, man. I think it's flat-out, full-on, devil-based idolatry where they're down, flat-out, just sacrificing and worshiping idols. You want to know what it looks like? Go to a Chinese food. Go to a Thai place up on University Avenue. You see the Buddha. Go to an auto shop. Man, they got idols right there with food and money. Man, they are worshiping this stuff. Anybody seen that, man? I was at some auto shop, and the guy's kneeling down. Whoa, idolatry right there, you know? That's what we're talking about in Israel. And God says Israel's going to be surrounded. It's going to be polluted on the inside by idolatry, polluted on the inside by false prophecy. He said, I'm going to handle that. I'm going to wipe all them idols away. And all these false prophets, we don't see a bunch of false prophecy going on in Israel today, but it's coming. How do I know it's coming? Because it's in the book. Can I get a witness on that? How do I know that Israel will one day become an enemy of the United States? Because it's in the book. Israel's going to be standing alone with only God standing behind her. That's enough. Amen? It's coming. It's just a question of when it's going to come and what we're going to do and what you're going to do. God will make a spiritual change in you and around you. And there might be some stuff in your life that needs to go. Hurts, habits and hang-ups. Come on Monday night. Need to learn how to pray. Come on Wednesday night. Pastor Paul teaches a series on prayer going through Colossians. Come on Saturday. But as the Holy Spirit comes into your life and brings conviction and lights you up, your life will never be the same. And if you're trying to hold on to that last life, that old life, maybe you haven't really received Him. Maybe you're just living a lie. Maybe you're like the Jews for 2,000 years and said, we don't want it. You got a little bit of time where God's focus is on you until the full number of the Gentiles comes in. Then He's going to turn back and focus on the Jews. Maybe you're the last one. Maybe it is this morning that the last one comes in. Don't wait. Line up on the Lord. He'll light you up and change your life. Amen? Then you're going to come up and sing. We're going to pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you came to save Jews, that you came as a Jew, and they said no, and you have a time set aside for the church and for the Gentiles to come in, Lord. I thank you. 25 years ago, I was hurting bad enough, and you heard my prayer. I said, Lord, save me, a sinner. Set me free. Lord, I thank you that by your Spirit you guided me for that year trying to figure things out. And Lord, I thank you that you called me out of darkness to serve you, that I serve you this day. You give me a wife and children. This wonderful church to serve you in. I think there's so many here that have received that same call to come and to serve. Make sacrifice. Thank you for this woman, Kim Davis. Lord, that her life, she's paying a price. Lord, you require sacrifice. You call us out of darkness. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going, my life is not that much different. I thought I knew Christ, but I just kind of living the same. And right now the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what? You've been living a lie, and it's time to make a change. Time is growing short. Gentile numbers being counted. Time for you to come in this morning. Time to stop messing around. Time to get lit. I am here to light you up this morning. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is speaking to you. And He is saying, you're too cool. Time to get lit. I will light you up. That's you this morning. Say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I am ready to blaze for you, Lord. I want to be like one of those leaders of Judah, Lord, that goes like the fire pot and lights people up around me, Lord. I want to be an agent of change for you, Lord. I want to know you as my Savior, Lord. I am in crisis this morning. I invite you to come in. I surrender my life to you, Lord. I want to know a new existence in you. That's you this morning. I just want you to just slide your hand up and say, Lord, that's me this morning, Lord. Save me. Save me this morning. Right over here, somebody will say, that's me. That's me, Lord. I don't want to be cool anymore. Lord, I want to know you in a mighty and new way. Anybody else? The time is short. Full number is coming in. Last shot. That's you this morning right over here. Anybody else? Say, Lord, light me up. Maybe you're here this morning, and I thank you for listening to the Lord. You too. You're here this morning, and you got stuff that's around you. You know the Lord, and He's been speaking to you. But this morning, He's saying, there's some clutter in your life. I don't know if it's an idol or not, but there's some stuff that needs to go, and he needs to clean your house, because your house, he's got your Holy, the Holy Spirit is in you, doing a work in you, and you got some clutter in your house that needs to go. Holding you back. You say, Lord, I'm ready to make those changes, Lord. I want to be full on, full bore for you. That's you this morning. Just slide your hands. That's me. That's me. That's me. I got something right here. Somebody else say, that's me over here. Somebody else say, that's me back here. Last chance. Lord, you are so good. Lord, I thank you that you give us second chances. Lord, I thank you that on Labor Day 2015, that you do a labor and a work in us. Lord, I thank you for changed lives by your Spirit, Lord, that you would come meet us here this morning. Light us up. We'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. The worship team is coming. My wonderful daughter is going to sing a song. And you can put a focus on him. Let's all stand and we're going to sing. Praise the Lord.